Looking ahead, challenges and opportunities in the changing world. Welcome to Talking Economics, a podcast by the Center for Economic Research and Graduate Education, Economics Institute. In the ever-evolving world of financial services, central bank digital currencies have emerged as a potential game changer. While cryptocurrencies have gained popularity over the years, central bank digital currencies potentially combine the benefits of digital currencies with the stability and control of central banks. What are the expectations and how far are the discussions on central bank digital currencies across the world? In this episode, we will take a closer look at digital currencies with Branislav Saxa. Branislav is a SerGI PhD alumnus, principal analyst, and head of monetary analysis and monetary policy transmission team at the Czech National Bank. Since 2013, he has also been lecturing at SerGI's Master in Applied Economics program and UPCE's Study Abroad program. Welcome, Braňo.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Before we continue, let me emphasize that everything I will say today is purely my personal opinion and it cannot be understood as a position or view of any institution.
So, central bank digital currencies is the topic of the day, seems to be. Bank of America in its report talked about the most significant technological advancement in the history of money. And people are asking, is CBDC the future of money? So what is this CBDC?
If I use the simplest possible definition, I would say that CBDC or central bank digital currency is a digital form of cash. And this is correct definition, but it might not be useful in understanding what CBDC is for the people who say, well, I am not using cash anymore. I do all my payments digitally. I have all my savings in a digital form. So what would change for me? And the explanation for these people isn't that easy because under normal circumstances, really not much would change if the CBDC existed and people would use CBDC instead of digital payment systems they use today. But here it is useful to realize that general public has access to two types of the money. One type of the money is issued by the central bank. It's issued by state. And for general public, this is cash in the form of banknotes and coins. And then there is there are private money. And for most of the people, the private money are represented by deposits in commercial banks. Under normal circumstances, there are not big differences between using privately issued money or central bank issued money. There can be special
circumstances or situations.
There can be special situations in which it matters.
Mm-hmm. So, these are the situations why are central banks considering the CBDCs? Like, what do you have in mind?
Yeah. So motivations for introduction of CBDC are different, and they are different in different countries, obviously. One of the strongest motivation, at least among the countries that already have issued central bank digital currency, mm-hmm. is financial inclusion. And to explain this, if you imagine that you are living in the country where substantial part of the population do not have access to bank accounts, either because banking business it's not profitable there, or because they live in some area where this is not possible. In these countries, creation of central bank digital currency in a way that these people would have easy access to digital wallet in their cell phone, and that would enable them to make digital payments, is a big change. So this financial inclusion motivation is mentioned especially by less advanced countries. Slightly related to this is also the cost of distribution of cash or cost of existing digital payments. And this motivation is also mentioned by some countries, and I think it's useful to mention the example of Bahamas. In Bahamas, central bank to distribute the cash has to do that across dozens of islands, and this is expensive. I guess it's also slightly, or it might be slightly dangerous. So for Bahamas, the option of having a digital wallet with the digital cash in their cell phones
is a strong motivation. But still, this doesn't answer the question from the beginning. This is not, I think this is not relevant for countries like Czech Republic, right? And here it's more about the financial intermediaries who are backing the use of the cards and virtual payments that we do now? Or what are the motivations for countries like Czech Republic or the European Union?
Exactly. Advanced countries have typically much different motivations. And one of the motivation is resilience of payments. Under normal circumstances, if people use cash can act as a backup system for the situations in which there is some disaster, there is some attack on digital infrastructure, and so on. So, but if you are getting in the situation where the usage of cash declines substantially, mm-hmm. as is, for example, the example of Sweden, then you naturally prefer to have some other backup solution. And this is very often the motivation for advanced countries to have some backup solution that is independent from current payment systems and that would be usable in the case of either attacks or in the case of some extreme situations.
The central bank digital currencies are more resilient. So is it about the lack of intermediaries, or what is the difference? How does it work? How does the system work that it makes it more resilient?
Yeah, exactly. If you think about what you need to make payment with your mobile phone, if you go to grocery after we record this podcast, you need bank account and you need some card provider because typically, If you pay in the grocery, it goes through the card and through the bank account. So it's probably not so difficult to imagine that either there we might see some attack on some critical nodes in this system, or this might be purely my imagination. You can also imagine that if there is some strong concentration risk in future payment system, for example, that one provider of private payment systems is critically important, then such a provider might be tempted to misuse this power, this dominance on the market.
This sounds like a very technologically demanding solution. Right? Or I think this is where it links to the cryptocurrencies, right? The central bank digital currencies started to emerge, or the discussion was based on the fast evolution and appearance of the cryptocurrencies. So how do these link?
Well, the discussions about central bank digital currencies started slightly sooner, I would say, but they became more intensive with the proposal of Meta company, provider of Facebook, to create a stable coin that was initially supposed to be called Libra, and later it was renamed to Diem. And I think with that proposal, there was a significant risk that Meta company could, or the consortium of firms behind that, would be able to get very dominant position in the payment markets, in the global payment markets, and that, for example, that this might be misused or that that some countries could even lose their monetary sovereignty in the case that majority of the population in some country would start to use this diem stable coin for their regular payments. So I think this started very serious discussions about at least the need to be prepared to introduce central bank digital currencies in many countries.
And so what are the technological solutions that would back these up?
They are very different. And in terms of technology, it is still not clear what will be the mainstream solution. And there are really there are many possibilities. And the Bank for International Settlements is actually very active in this direction. And they have several working groups working on technological side of central bank digital currencies. And among others, they are also preparing the framework for using central bank digital currencies for faster and more efficient international payments. Because if you prepare kind of framework for that before the individual countries set up their own central bank digital currencies, it might be much easier later to do that. And international payments are still the area where there is obviously a space for improvement, because they can be relatively slow and still quite expensive. There is one more thing I would mention when we talk about the motivations of advanced countries to introduce central bank digital currencies, and it is the idea that it might be preferable for the society to have money provided by the state. To have the situation in which state provides money as a public good. And whenever I think about this, I think about a nice analogy to building bridges. If you imagine that you have city divided by the river, society might decide either to build a public bridge that will be for free, available for everyone, or society might decide that private companies will build bridges whenever it's profitable, and then they will charge people for crossing the bridge afterwards.
And so you think that the benefits of providing it publicly are overweighting the costs or the benefits of the private solutions, the free market solutions?
Well, if you think about these two alternatives, it might not be socially optimal to leave it purely on the market to provide the ability to cross the bridge. And if I forget about all the other aspects of this problem, there exists a risk that if we have only one bridge with one owner, one provider, he might decide to misuse this monopolistic power in the future, and he might misuse this in different kind of negotiations and so on. So from this point of view, I think having money as a public good might be a good solution, even in the future when, as many countries expect, the role of physical cash might decline seriously. And one more and last thing, when we talk about the motivations of advanced countries, is the possibility for innovations, possibility for so-called smart money. And I don't expect this will be the property of central bank digital currency in the beginnings, but it definitely opens a space. We can have different kinds of so-called programmable money, so that...
What is this?
You can, for example, imagine that state, let's say, provides a help in some situations, and this money will be only usable for buying certain services or certain goods. This is one example. Another example is that you can have smart contracts in a way that payment is only finished when the product or service is delivered, and this can all be done digitally. So it might, in some situations, make the life easier for everyone.
Make the life easier for everyone. At the same time, this sounds to me very much like, wow, that's a lot of control that you're getting there. Which maybe brings me to the next question, which is about the challenges linked to the introducing CBDC. Like, what are the challenges of doing this, and what are the risks that we can face?
Well, I would say that today, the biggest challenge is actually the lack of strong motivation for introducing CBDC. So in many countries, central banks see some advantages of introducing central bank digital currency, but the risks that are connected with that are considered to be still too big to make this decision. Interestingly, you don't want to be the adoption of central bank digital currency too low, but you also don't want central bank digital currency to become too attractive. If it is too low, it is at least a reputational problem, because you invest a lot of energy and a lot of money into starting a completely new framework. And if the adoption by the public is very limited, that's not something you are happy about. On the other hand, you cannot let people move all their deposits into central bank digital currency. And because of that, most of the projects that are seriously considering introduction of central bank digital currency expect to use some caps or limits on the size of the payments and on the size of holdings.
Why is that?
The problem is that if you let people freely move, for example, all their savings to central bank digital currency form, you would crowd out deposits in the commercial banks, and that could create serious financial stability problem. And in the end, without big changes in the financial world, it can also mean the end of fractional reserve banking system, or at least it can seriously limit the capacity of commercial banks to provide loans. So this is the reason why all the existing projects have some limits on how much money you can have in the form of the digital currency, central bank digital currency, and how big the payments can be. These limits also exist because what you need to do, you need to think about anti-money laundering policies, and it's always kind of difficult to find a good balance between anonymity and privacy on one side and policies that
you control this,
avoid money laundering on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So the CBDC would be more really equivalent to cash, or replacing the cash transactions, and not necessarily what the banks, the private banks, are providing.
Exactly. This is basically the idea, yeah, that you would use central bank digital currency in the way you are using cash today, but
not harming the existing financial system as it is.
Exactly. And talking about challenges, there is one more challenge that actually surprised me when I learned about it, and it is offline functionality of central bank digital currency. And it turns out that it's not so easy to create central bank digital currency that would be available also for offline payments without creating a double spend problem. And I will try to give you an example. Offline functionality of central bank digital currency might be very useful, especially in the case of disasters, but it is also practical in case when, for example, people are somewhere in the woods and you would like to pay from your digital wallet in your phone to the digital wallet of your friend in the other phone. But it turns out that technologically it's still not easy to make it available and also to avoid the possibility of a double spend problem, or in other words, to avoid the possibility that you would be able to spend the money on your digital wallet several times. This is the reason why offline functionality and existing central bank digital currencies doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. So this sounds like quite a challenge for all these less developed countries, let's say, where they are testing it. I would expect that their connection to the internet is not that stable or prevalent.
Yes, and it gets even more complicated because in case of the natural disaster, even if you have the offline functionality, you either need to have loaded your wallet with enough of the central bank digital currency, enough of the digital cash, or you need the possibility to add more money to your wallet using the online connection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like the question of security is also probably a major question of how to make sure that there is no fraud and no stealing in the digital world. How is that secured?
Well, of course, the risk of cyber attacks is one of the reasons why banks are not really hurrying up into adoption of central bank digital currencies, because in case you start the central bank digital currency and this currency is later a target of cyber attack, then
yeah, it's a major risk. It's something you need to think about before you roll it out. So there is a lot of challenges. The question is, so how far are these discussions? It seems I started with the statement that this is the future of money. So is it the future of money in any near future, or what's happening in the world?
Well, we will see. There are a few countries that have already adopted central bank digital currencies. I have already mentioned Bahamian Sendolar, which is probably the most mature central bank digital currency. And if you want to see how it works there, you can learn a lot about their experience. They have three types of the wallets. The simplest wallet can be established just by using the email. So you download the app to your mobile, and it's quite user-friendly. However, the adoption by the public isn't huge so far. And this is also the problem for Jamaica and Nigeria. In case of the Jamaica, the motivation for introduction of the central bank digital currency was also financial inclusion, because still substantial part of the population is unbanked. And this was the motivation also for Nigeria, but especially in Nigeria, according to IMF, the adoption is very slow, and very few people use it for transactions. So what recently IMF suggested was to enable receiving remittances from abroad in the form of the
currency, mm-hmm.
central bank digital currency of Nigeria, which is called, I think, Naira. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we can mention the case of Sweden. Sweden started with the discussions about introduction of central bank digital currencies many, many years ago, especially motivated by the decline of the cash. But a few months ago, Sweden announced, or Riksbank, Swedish Riksbank, announced that for now they are not entering the phase of introduction of the central bank digital currency. So they are further investigating the possibilities. They are ready to introduce central bank digital currency in case it is needed, but they are not doing it right now.
So it's good that many emerging countries are exploring the system, and we can learn from these their experiences. What about the European Union? You talked about Sweden, but is there any discussion at the level of Euro and European Union about CBDC?
Yes, the possibility of emergence of stablecoin that was being prepared at some time by Meta company. I have already mentioned it. It's the project of Libra, and further it was later it was renamed to Diem. This project started very serious discussions in the Europe about possible threats that this could bring, and very quickly after that, European Central Bank prepared a report on digital euro, and ECB afterwards in 2021 started investigation how the central bank digital currency for the Europe could look like, and whether it makes sense to adopt it. It is called the digital euro, and in the autumn of this year we expect that the ECB will make a further decision whether to enter the next phase or whether, similarly to Sweden, to say that so far there is no strong need to introduce central bank digital currency. However, according to the ECB, there are several situations which might trigger the serious need for introduction of the central bank digital currencies. Either it can be a significant decline of cash, or it can be a potential for some foreign central bank digital currency or some other private money to become widely used in the Eurozone, and that could actually threaten the monetary sovereignty in the Eurozone, and it could also bring some other risks. On the top of that, European Commission published a legislative proposal on digital euro a few weeks ago in the end of June, and according to this proposal, digital euro would become a legal tender mm-hmm. if it is introduced. But and this is emphasized, the physical cash would continue to exist. They expect that two forms of the cash, or two forms of the central bank money, physical cash and digital central bank currency, would exist together.
Perfect. Thank you, Branio. I think we covered a lot of challenges and opportunities linked to the CBDC, and maybe it is the future of money, so we can meet in a year or two to reevaluate the situation. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.